Hi, friends. I'm your host, Leaning Heiss, and this is episode 85 of the Moms in Prayer podcast. Welcome back. We have Awaken Hope, Idaho right around the corner on March 7th. If you're in the Pacific Northwest or anywhere nearby, you will want to get to Awaken Hope. You'll get to worship, pray, and learn with my good friends, Crystal Woodman Miller and Vivian Babuni, and our president, Sally Burke. You don't want to miss this lineup. You guys, it's going to be life-changing. You can register for the event on the Moms in Prayer website at momsinprayer.org/events. You can also follow all the Awaken Hope happenings if you're on Facebook by following Moms in Prayer International. Hey, we're on Instagram too, and our stories are so fun. Today's guest is my friend, Asherita Chuchu. Asherita is not only a godly woman, wife, author of best-selling books, but she's also a young mom. Today is an episode you are going to want to share with your young mama friends. I often speak at MOPS groups and young moms groups, and one of the questions I'm most frequently asked is, how do I make faith and time in the Word a priority when my kids are awake all night, nursing a baby, or trying to keep tiny humans alive? There's no such thing as quiet time. Today, we are going to tackle that question. You see, my answer is always the same. God honors the time you give to Him. Keep fighting for the minutes. Today, Asherita, a young mom who's in the middle of the little years, shares what works for her and what she's learning about parenting in the little years. You will love this episode. Show notes for today's episode, number 85, can be found on our blog on the Moms in Prayer website at momsinprayer.org. Let's welcome Asherita to the podcast. Asherita, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This is so much fun.
It is a gift to be together. We've actually got to meet in person once at a conference, so That was so fun. I want our listeners to get to know you. So tell us a little bit about your family.
Yeah, so I married my high school sweetheart, Flavio. We met in camp in fifth grade. So boys still had cooties back then, but obviously I got over that. And he's just such a blessing. And we have three children, ages six and under. Carissa is six, Amelia is almost four, and Theo is 1.5. They're the joy of my life, and they also drive me crazy some days.
I love that you say that. But first of all, can I just marvel, because you are writing books. It's actually why I have you here today, is because I want to talk about one of the books that you wrote. But you are doing a lot of things for a mom of three little kids.
Oh, it truly is God's grace. He's just been so good to surround me with a community and a support group that enables me to do what I do. I can never do it without the people in my life that come alongside me.
Oh, isn't that the truth? So I just need to know, were you a natural mom? Did you dream about having kids? You know, that kind of thing. Were you always wanting to be a mom, or has this been a learning process for you?
Oh, man. So when I was young, I didn't even think I'd get married. So no, not really. I didn't grow up dreaming of having kids. I actually thought, a little bit of background, I was a missionary kid in Romania. And I actually thought I would be a modern day Amy Carmichael, that I would just spend my life on the mission field as a single woman. And I was thrilled with that. I was okay with that. But the Lord, in my high school years and then college, just kind of drew my heart to Flavio and showed that He has another path for me. And now, like, I just can't imagine doing things any differently. I would say I entered motherhood with some fear and some trepidation. There's some brokenness in my family of origin, and I knew I didn't want to repeat some of those same mistakes. I mean, my parents loved us, I think, to the best of their abilities. And I think the greatest gift they gave us was a love for Jesus. And I so appreciate that. And I knew for sure that was something I wanted to give my kids. But even now, sometimes I'm like, motherhood has been by far the most humbling thing I've ever done.
Oh man, isn't that the truth? I am sure that other people like me can relate to all of that. Asherita, how old were you when you came to know Jesus?
Dating is kind of fuzzy. I do remember one, because I grew up in a Christian family, right? So I like attended church from the womb, basically. But I remember a specific night. I must have been 5 or 6 years old. And I was in my parents' Subaru. We were driving home from church one night, and my dad asked me, did you invite Jesus into your heart? Like, have you ever done that? And that night I said, I want to. And that was, I think, the beginning the beginning of a lifelong journey. Like, there have been many more markers of moments of remembrance of encounters with God since then. But I would say that that night, I don't know when, I don't have a date, I don't have an exact age, but the Lord has been so faithful every step of the way.
Isn't it interesting how we become mothers and all of a sudden we hope that our kids have these, I'm putting air quotes around boring testimonies, but like, I have no idea that cataclysmic date when my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because I grew up in a home where it was so much a part of who we are. I don't remember not believing. Like, that's, that is my hope for my kids, is that there's something like that, just like your story.
Oh my gosh, I still, like, my heart starts pounding whenever we come close to these conversations, right? So last night we were reading, through a children's storybook Bible, and it was on the book of Galatians, this particular chapter, and talking about how we are saved because of what Jesus has done and not because of what we do and how we can keep God's rules. And there are questions at the end. And so we went through the questions. And the last one was, have you ever asked Jesus to forgive your sins and to be Lord of your life, I think. And my heart starts pounding, right? Because I'm like, this could be the moment. This could be it. Like, my child could ask Jesus into their heart right now. And I think I build so much pressure on myself on this moment to, like, not screw it up. And Carissa, my six-year-old, just kind of looked at me. She's like, yep, I did. And I'm like, when?
Tell
when?
Me about when that.
Yeah. Like, I know. I'm like, what? But I think you're right. I think there is this hope that, I mean, Paul talks about households of faith, and he talks about salvation coming to your household. And I think there's an element of raising children in an environment where faith in Jesus and love for Jesus is a second nature as the air they breathe. Not to say that they won't have to live into that, especially as they get older, as they make their own decisions. I think that's where nominal Christianity and just church attending Christianity becomes different from a personal commitment to Jesus. But that will come. So pressure's off, mamas.
I totally agree. I read the other day in 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy where Paul was writing to Timothy, and he says, you know how you have known from infancy the Holy Scriptures. And that is just such a challenge to me, that it is possible for our kids to learn God's word, just like you're doing right now with your kids. Sit down, teach them the word from the smallest age, which means that we're beginning early, right?
Yeah. And I mean, there's so many ways to do this. I think as people in general, maybe as women, as moms, we want a checklist, right? Just tell me what to do. Like, give me the steps, 1, 2, 3, I'll check them off, I'll do it, everything will be great, and I'll have a guaranteed outcome. And that's just not life, right? So that can scare us in the uncertainty of the end result, or it can give us freedom and saying, there's so much creativity. There's so much that your own personality can play into this, that your own family dynamics can play into how you imbue God and scripture and prayer into your family life. There's no formula. There's no, like, 1, 2, 3, this is what you have to do. So we can talk about, like, okay, what are some of those fun, creative ways that we can make this just natural in our family life, where the kids know we read the Bible because we love this. This is God's word. This is the bread of life. This is what gets us excited to get to know Jesus. How can we do that in ways that are not overwhelming and don't cause guilt and shame? That's really my heart passion.
I love that. When we start as women taking in God's word for ourselves, the church or Christians at large call this having a quiet time, right? And I wanted to ask you, knowing full well what you'll say, but does it have to be quiet when we spend time with God?
So this is why I was like giggling earlier, because do moms have any quiet time?
Right?
Is there any time in our day that's quiet? Like, even literally middle of the night, if I were to wake up at 2 a.m., it would not be quiet because my four-year-old still doesn't sleep well through the night. So she came to our bed 3 times last night, right? So any time of day is prone to interruptions, is prone to little hands pulling on my sleeve saying, mommy, I need this, or whining, mommy, she took this from me. And to be honest, Lee, at the beginning of my motherhood journey, which obviously I'm only 6 years in, so I'm still quite there at the beginning. But just as my two daughters were getting to that age where they were requiring all of my attention, I kind of resented them for it. Because, I mean, this sounds so like bad to acknowledge, right? Like, I'm a terrible mom. But I think a lot of moms will relate to this. My life was my own. My time was my own before I got married, before I had kids, right? If I wanted to spend an hour in inductive Bible study with my concordances and my dictionaries and my maps, I could, because I had the leisure of that time. Obviously, when you get married, you share your life with another person. So that kind of restricts your availability. And then when children enter the scene, I mean, at first, babies sleep so much. So it seems like, oh, I still have all the time in the world to do it. But realistically, I was so sleep deprived with my babies that I would sit down with my Bible with every good intention, and I would literally fall asleep on the pages of my Bible. Like, I was that exhausted. And there was guilt in that. There was this like, oh man, like, can I not love God enough to stay awake? Like, am I not able, like Jesus and the disciples in the garden,
in
right?
The garden
can
of
you not watch
right
and wait with me? I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't. I just can't. And so there was this resentment of like, God, why? Like, how? Right? You have called us to life to the full. That's what Jesus says in John 10. The enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And I started wondering, what does that look like? Right? I think Isaiah says he gently leads those who are young. In another place, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary. And every mom raises her hand.
Right.
And heavy burdened, and we raise the other hand because there's so many expectations, so many fears on our shoulders. And Jesus says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You will find rest for your souls. And I started wondering, what does that look like? Because I want that. And obviously, the way I've been doing my quote unquote quiet time is not working anymore.
You talk about some stereotypes of quiet times that people have and overcoming those. Can you talk to us a little bit about those stereotypes?
Yeah. So we already addressed one of them, which is quiet time has to be quiet, right? And if it's not quiet, then all is lost. I think another one that we tend to kind of have in the back of our mind is that it has to be a certain length of time or it's not worth it. Yeah. Right. So this morning, because of my interrupted sleep last night, my alarm went off and I was like, there's no way I can get out of bed to meet with Jesus this morning. So I slept in. And then when I did wake up, I'm like, man, I only have 10 minutes before I need to get the kids up and ready to go. And the temptation is to say, I blew it. And 10 minutes, I might as well not open my Bible because that's not enough time. Like, have you ever experienced this where you're like, it's all or nothing? You're nodding your head. Just for listeners who can't see you, you're
totally
nodding your head that you're
totally
alone. And I think this is one of the stereotypes that to have a quote unquote good or right time with the Lord means that it has to be 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever that standard is for us.
Isn't that so natural for those of us who studied the Bible or who spent time in scripture before we had kids? It's like, it used to be, you said an hour, me too. It used to be this huge thing and all of a sudden I can only get 10 minutes, so it doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not true.
Exactly. So that's, I mean, I think they're stereotypes, but I think they're also lies that we believe. And that's one of them. It doesn't count if it's just 10 minutes. And instead saying, I love this picture of the widow in the temple. And the Lord has used this to just bring so much encouragement to me, where the widow comes and she brings her two coins, right? And that's all she has are these two coins. And Jesus looks at her and then looks at the disciples and says, she has given more than all those men who pour in bags of gold and coins because they give out of their much. And she has given out of her little. She has given all she has. And I just want listeners to be encouraged today. If 10 minutes is all you have, give it to Jesus because he will multiply it. And there's this other beautiful teaching in the Gospels where the little boy brings a few fish, a few loaves of bread. And it's like, what is this in the face of thousands and thousands of people who need to be fed? And if you've grown up in the church, you know this story, right? Our little in the hands of Jesus becomes more than enough. God can take those 10 minutes and multiply that time to feed your soul in a way that would never have been possible before. But he is the God of the impossible, the God of the miraculous, and he will do it.
Asherita, I love in your book, Bible and Breakfast, the idea of snacks on the go and feasts, and that you've kind of woven both of those throughout this book. And it's almost like you knew moms were going to be busy. So some days it's going to look like this and some days it's going to look like this. Tell me why you made that decision.
Yeah. So really it's been from my own place of need because of this all or nothing mentality, or like, it doesn't count if it's not a full hour. I could go for days and honestly weeks without cracking open my Bible because I don't have the time, right? And we'll talk about that. I don't have the time in a minute. I'm a bit of a research nerd. And so the last few years, I've spent some time really researching what does brain science teach us about habit formation? What do we know now about how to develop lifelong habits? Because I want to be in God's word every day for the rest of my life, during the busy seasons, during the little season, during the teenage season, and during the empty nest season. I want to be in God's word. So what does it look like to have a daily habit that can grow and change and adapt with the different demands of these seasons? Because your time with the Lord in February will look different than summer break in July. And it looks different from when you're on vacation to when you have from people from out of town visiting.
Absolutely.
When a kid is sick, like, it's going to look different. And so we need to kind of set aside this rigid, formulaic approach to time with God to say every day it has to look like this. And instead we need to look at, okay, how can we develop a flexible habit that has us in God's word every day, that encourages the freedom and the joy of spending time in God's presence and getting to know the God of the universe, even if you just have 10 minutes. And that's where I just kind of all of these things coming together. There's this concept of tiny habits, or you might've heard atomic habits, right? Just the smallest little action that moves you forward toward your goal. And so if 3 minutes is all you have, then take those 3 minutes every day. If on a certain day you have 10 minutes, then spend more time, right? If you have an hour on a given day, because I don't know, that you took the kids to McDonald's or Chick-fil-A and they're playing in the playground and you have 45 minutes, you can take out your phone and scroll Instagram, or you can pull out your Bible and say, God, I have this time today. Would you bless it? Would you meet me here in the middle of this noisy kids restaurant? Would you multiply this time? And so this is the concept of snacking and feasting, right? Because I'm a bit of a foodie. I love my like big nutritious breakfasts. I would have like cheesy scrambled eggs and pancakes and fruit salad and like all the yummy things every single morning if I could, but that's just not realistic, right? And so some mornings, all I have is a smoothie as I run out the door, or a little bit of granola on my yogurt, and then I run out the door because this is my busy motherhood season right now. But we know intuitively that a snack, like a nutritious snack, is better than not eating at all. We need to fuel our bodies. So even if we just eat little snacks throughout the day, that's better than not eating anything or binging on junk food. And so I'm encouraging people to think through, especially moms, think through, how can you snack on the Bible throughout the day? So maybe first thing in the morning, you only have 5 minutes. We'll spend that 5 minutes with God. But then maybe when you're in the car, instead of listening to a podcast or listening to the radio or listening to music, could you listen to the audio Bible for a few minutes and just spend some time meditating and praying? That's one thing we do. Or maybe you enjoy running or jogging. Could you listen to music that lifts your soul in worship and really view that time as you and God time, whether you're running in your neighborhood or you're at your local gym? Be creative in thinking about, how can I snack on God's word throughout the day and just kind of fuel my body as I go? And there might come days during the week, maybe it's one day a week, that you're able to feast on God's word. And that word feast is an acronym that I use to guide women through inductively studying the Bible, really digging in, really pulling out the richness of the passage. And those feasts, I would love to be able to do them every day, but I don't in this season. And I know this season will come when I can again, right? When my kids will have left the nest and I'll have my mornings back to myself, or with my husband or whatever, and I'll be able to sit again for an hour. I have a friend who's in her 50s and approaching 60 right now. And she's like, Ashrita, it is just so sweet to have this time with Jesus. I can spend 2 or 3 hours if I want and just be with him. But I don't want to wait 20, 25 years for that, right? I'm not going to put my life, my relationship with Jesus on hold for that long. even if it means snacking throughout the day. Let's do it.
I think that is just such an encouragement, because we don't want to resent these little years. I don't want to be the mom who's frustrated and angry that I didn't get my quiet time or that my kids interrupted me, when really he has given us this little season with them. And so he must be able to sustain us on 3 to 10 minute quiet times that are not quiet at all, because he's multiplying that within us. And if we look at it from that perspective, that he can do more with 3 and 10 minutes than anybody else can, then we go to him and don't resent these little years and figure that our children are a gift from him. The interruptions are not interruptions or them stepping on our air cord or our oxygen line to Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to breathe with us and for us. Actually, it reminds me a lot of talking to people about prayer too, because I often say you don't have to have an hour to start to develop a regular prayer time. We don't need to resent these little beginnings. Actually, just pray throughout the day. Start there, inviting him in to the day. Mm-hmm. But Ashrita, you also talk about inviting your kids into this process rather than holding them at arm's length, actually drawing them in closer. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so that really changed everything for me and for my relationship with my kids as far as reading the Bible. Because I had pictured, like, I don't know, when Carissa was young, I would read people writing about family devotions, right? And they have these beautiful family devotions where everyone sits quietly and like the dad reads from the Bible and it's this wonderful time. And I'm like, that just doesn't fit my family. And I don't think we'll ever be able to do that, honestly. And so I kind of wrote it off as just something that we can't do or won't be able to do. And at the same time, right, I'm also facing this tension of I want more time in God's word and I can't seem to have any time by myself. And as I was praying about that, going back to the beginning of our interview, Lord, if you promise fullness of joy in your presence, what does that look like in this season? And he led me to this idea of reading the Bible with my kids over breakfast. Part of it is I had read a statistic probably about 2 years ago. There'd been a study done on children. It was a longitudinal study on children who had grown up in Christian homes and were now in their 30s. And they had looked at those who were still committed to the local church and still active in their walk with Jesus. And then they backtracked to say, what are some of the common characteristics of these adult Christians in their childhood, right? What are the factors that we could say are most likely to lead to a committed Christian in their 30s? And they looked at things like attending public school versus private school versus homeschool, listening to secular music versus Christian music, going on mission trips, church attendance, like all the things you would expect, right? And then they plotted out what percentage of people who are committed in their 30s had those factors or those characteristics in their childhood home. Fascinating study. Maybe we can link to it in the show notes. But the one thing that outperformed, to use that term, all the other factors by like double was, did the children read the Bible while they were at home? It was somewhere, I don't want to get the number wrong, it was somewhere in like the 80% of children who read the Bible while they were at home that they would be committed as a 30-year-old. And obviously, going back, like, there's no formula. There's no guarantee. But when I read that, I thought the first thing that came to mind was, I can tell my kids all day long that reading the Bible is important. And at this age, they're too young to read it themselves, right? Chris is just now starting to learn to read. But if they don't see me reading the Bible, if I'm always trying to be by myself when I read the Bible, right, if I'm trying to hide from them and have my quiet time and be all alone, they will never see me reading my Bible. And so I can tell them all day long that reading the Bible is important. If they don't see mom do it, they're not going to do it.
Gosh, it's so interesting. We're making counterproductive choices, actually, when we're hiding away from them.
Yeah. And like, you don't think about it, but when you read something like that, you're like, oh my goodness, that makes so much sense, right? Because kids catch what they see, what they watch us doing. And so that was kind of the motivation for me to say, okay, Lord, it might not be quiet, but I want to start reading my Bible with my kids. I want them to see me reading the Bible. They're too young to read it themselves, but I'll read it out loud. Last year, we started reading through the Gospels. And at first I was like, oh, we could do one chapter a day. This will be great. Like, we'll finish by April.
Negative, Ghost Rider. Yeah. Right.
Nope. Nope. Like, we got through maybe half of Mark by the end of the year. But it was so beautiful. Like, we had so many great organic conversations. And I watched my children grow in their love for God's word and their love for who God is. And it was imperfect. I would read the same sentence over 8 times because I'd be interrupted for, like, the milk has spilled. I need a napkin. I need more cereal. She's looking at me. She's pointing at me. Like, whatever, right? And so sometimes it felt like we're not getting anywhere at all. But looking over the past year, those tiny habits, right? So even if we're just reading one of those short little passages, just 3 or 5 verses out loud with our kids day after day after day, it adds up. And on days when I felt I was too busy and I couldn't bring my Bible to the breakfast table because we're rushing or whatever, Carissa or Amelia would go and get my Bible. Like, Mom, this is what we do.
This is what we do. Yeah.
This is what we do. And it's so beautiful. And you don't have to overcomplicate it. Like, just read the passage. And then the one question we would always ask is, what does this teach us about Jesus? Mm. And just that simple question helped them realize, like, we're not just doing this because we have to. Like, we're doing this because we're getting to know Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and we love him, and it helps us grow in a relationship with him. And it has just been the funnest thing to do together.
You know, it's interesting because I have the exact same story. I would sit my kids down at the table and we would spend time reading God's word together. And that was great during the preschool years and the elementary school years. And now, because I'm a few steps ahead of you in this journey, I now have teenagers and they're busy in the mornings. Everybody's flying 1,000 different ways. And I feel like we're almost back to that stage where we do not have time to read for 30 minutes. Like, we had built up this length of time where they could sit and be still. And now someone's rushing out early in the morning, even if it's a good thing for Fellowship of Christian Athletes or whatever they're rushing out to. And so I'm back to this stage where we're grabbing minutes together. Sometimes it's as quick as we can through half of a psalm, or we're reading 2 or 3 verses from Proverbs and we're trying to take them apart. But I feel like I'm back in the stage where I get 5 minutes and I keep saying to the Lord, I wish we had more. I wish we had more. And I think there's just peace over us that whatever stage we're in, God is going to make what we have more than enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, again, it's resisting the formulas, right? Just because something worked in the preschool years doesn't mean you need to use that same cookie cutter for the teenage years. And so some things, maybe it's, I don't know how old your kids are and if they drive or not, but I know moms who still drive their kids, right? They're like the taxi mom. They drive their kids everywhere. And maybe it's, okay, the first 5 minutes that we're in the car together, we'll spend listening to the Bible. And after that, we can talk, we can listen to music, we can do whatever, but just build in that tiny habit. The first 5 minutes we have, we always listen to a portion of scripture.
That's such a good idea.
You know, maybe it can be different, but this is where, like, freedom and creativity come in and just figuring out what works for you and your family. One of the things I have on my blog is a blog post called 120 Creative Ways to Connect with God. And it just gives you lots of different creative ways to do it. Like, maybe your kids are artistic and they would rather draw or color out or paint out a scene. And someone prefers to act out a scene. And someone wants to make up a song about the scene. Like, there's so many creative and fun ways that we can engage with the God of the universe. And he invites us to do that.
I love that so much. I have been just begging to get you on because of another book that you wrote called Unwrapping the Names of Jesus. And it is a Christmas oriented devotional book. And it talks about the different names of Jesus. You need to know this. I bought 20 copies this year and I gave them out to my closest friends. They're short, they're the right size, but they're focused on the names of God. Ashrita, I know that our friends are going to love that resource, but you also have one that's coming out that's going to involve Lent. And
yes.
I really feel like these are the perfect size books. And I want our friends to hear a little bit about your Lent book that's coming up.
Yeah. It's a partner book to the Christmas one. This one's called uncovering the love of Jesus. And it's basically from the time I spent a year studying the Gospels and looking at how did Jesus love people? And also kind of using 1 Corinthians 13 as a framework, right? That chapter we're familiar with from weddings, love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast. And so I looked at that and I said, if God is love and Jesus is the manifestation of God on earth, how did Jesus fulfill the love chapter? How was he patient? How was he kind? How was he slow to anger? And so looking through the Gospels at his personal interactions with people, it made me love him in a new way. Because especially you and I have the blessing of having grown up in Christian homes, and that is such a blessing. But I think sometimes there's this familiarity with the stories. And so it just helped me see everything from like the wedding in Cana, Galilee, where he change the water to wine as a way, I think, of loving the groom so that he would avoid the public embarrassment. And so love reaches out that way and covers one another and serves one another all the way to the Garden of Gethsemane when Peter cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant and Jesus reaches out and heals his enemy. Did you know that is the last recorded healing in the Bible that Jesus did? And he did it for the one who had come to arrest him. Love, Jesus' love just astounds me that way. So it's this invitation in the 40 days leading up to Easter. Let's spend time with Jesus in the Gospels. Let's look at the way he loved people as an invitation that we would then love people that way. Because as we come to know, Paul praises the width and the length and the breadth of the love of Jesus, that love fills us up. And it's supposed to overflow into the lives of others. Jesus says, this is how people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And I think that's so important. Yes, for us, for our families, for our children, to see us loving sacrificially. I think also for our community and our nation right now, we're in an election year. What would it look like if we as Christians loved people sacrificially who see things differently from us, who look differently from us, who vote differently from us? Can we love them with the love of Jesus? And I think that invitation to lay down our lives in that kind of love really will help us experience the death and the resurrection of Jesus in a whole new way.
Oh, that's a good word. Asherita, we are running out of time and I hate that so much, but how can our friends connect with you?
Yeah, so they can go to onethingalone.com. That's the blog I mentioned earlier. It has a whole backlog of resources to help overwhelmed women enjoy time with Jesus every day. But I'm most active on Instagram. So you can go on Instagram and find me at Asherita. And you can find the spelling of that name in today's show notes too.
Isn't that so funny? I often say, Lord, couldn't I have married somebody with the last name Smith? But your last name isn't any easier than your first name.
Nope,
so.
No.
We will have all those links in our show notes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say the good news is there are not really many Asheritas because my dad made up the name. So I don't even really have to use my last name that much. But Asherita means God is my happiness. And that really has been such a blessing in my life. And it's also what I want for other people is to help them find joy in Jesus.
I think that's so great. Asherita, thank you for being with us today. I love getting to talk to a young mom who is committed to doing this thing for Jesus and taking her kids with her. I know there are moms that are listening today that are young moms, and they are trying their best right now. And they feel a little desperate, a little cagey. I'm sure you were there too. I wonder if, as we close our time together, if you would pray for her.
Yes. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for Lee. Thank you for this podcast, for this community. Lord, thank you for those who hunger for you and thirst for you and want more of you. And thank you for that mom listening right now who would say, I don't really, but I want to. I want to hunger for God's word. And Lord, I pray wherever our listener is right now, would you draw her closer to your heart? Would you fill her with hunger for your word? Would you free her from guilt and shame and condemnation? From any baggage of what this should look like, from any guilt of how she might have failed in her relationship with you or in her relationship with her kids or leading her kids to you. And Lord, I pray that you would fill her instead with the joy of forgiveness, of repentance and fresh start and the ability to seek you today. Thank you for your promise that if we seek you, we will find you. When we seek you with all of our hearts, you will be found by us. And thank you that you take our little and you multiply it to feed our souls. Thank you for the ways that you show up at our breakfast table, crumbs and stickiness and all. And thank you that your word will never return void, that it will always produce a harvest. And so we trust you. And today, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would reach out to each of us who are listening right now, that you would show us one small way, one snack-sized way of feasting on your word. Would you multiply that in our lives, in our children's lives? And would you, Jesus, be glorified and lifted up as the Lord of the universe, as the Lord of our lives and our homes, all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Oh Lord, help us remember that you take our little and make it much. Have you been buying into one of those lies or stereotypes that Asherita mentioned? Leave us a note in the comments or hashtag Moms in Prayer or at Moms in Prayer or at Leaning Heights so we can have a conversation. We'd love to hear from you. You guys, our inbox was full last week listening to the episode. You guys had so much to say, and that is so fun. Just to remember that our show notes for today's episode and more about today's guest is found at the blog at momsinprayer.org. And boy, did we have to work on show notes this week. Moms are making the difference. Moms who are wiping up spills at breakfast. Moms just like you. See you next week.